Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, this new year, 2020, here we are this morning, gathering together as the people of God to worship the Lord in beginning this new year, desiring to hear a word from the Lord, directing our lives, teaching us, giving us the vision of Scripture. The vision, 2020 vision, seeing clearly, would be that we understand as the people of God that it should be our vision to continually do good to all men. Paul says, especially the household of faith, but nevertheless doing good to all men. Doing good is something that the Christian is called to partake in, to exercise in, to do in his life. It's to be an aspect of a habit of his life. This is the way he lives. It's a characteristic of his life is doing good to all. The fruit of the Spirit flows through the believer, and as the fruit of the Spirit flows through, he's loving individuals. He's loving individuals. He's serving individuals. He's being kind to individuals. He's being long-suffering. He's being forgiving. This is how the Christian lives his life. It's not a perfect life, but it certainly is directional. It certainly is intentional. It's purposeful living, isn't it? It's directional living. It's intentional living. Living to the glory of God. Desiring to be faithful to Him. Now, before we get to our text this morning, I want to chase around in Scripture here. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 34. And I want to look at a number of different texts that speak to this issue about the believer doing good works. Again, as the Belgian Confession teaches us, we are not redeemed by our good works. We're redeemed by the works of Jesus Christ and that alone. But if we are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a new nature. We have a new manner of living. And that new manner of living is praise to our God, living according to His Word and walking in all good works. So let's look at a number of these texts this morning. Psalm 34, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Here, the psalmist is admonishing the people of God to be a people that does good. Look at verse chapter 37. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these. I have a number of them I'd like to look at before we get to our text. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Now, you know, trusting in the Lord, that's the business of the believer. The Lord has created faith in the heart of the individual to trust in the Lord. And as he trusts in the Lord, he walks in good works. He walks in a manner that brings glory to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You are to be a beacon of good works. And all men are to see that. You're to demonstrate that. Letting your light shine before men. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Jesus says again, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Now, notice how this doing good works itself out. What does it look like? He says it right here in verse 28, "Bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you." That's a good work. Blessing those who curse you, praying for those who despise you and say all manner of evil against you. Look at verse 35. Same chapter, verse 35. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great when you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil." So we're to be merciful. And we're not to be merciful so that people, you know, we do something to them so we can get something back from them. We are to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Not as they do, but as we would have them do unto us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Most of you know this text here. Beginning in verse 8. And this is by no means exhaustive. This is just picked out. I just selected a number of texts to look at this morning. Verse 8, chapter 2 of Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man or anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Notice this. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have been recreated in Christ Jesus, redeemed, raised up to newness of life. Spiritually, we've been regenerated. We are the new creation in Christ. And here's the purpose clause. For good works. This is our life. Again, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 and 18. Paul says to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Notice that. Sharing, giving, rich in good works, is what the Lord calls us to. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. Actually, verse 6. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Notice there's a pattern for good works. In other words, others could see how you live your life and they could pattern their life after yours. That's how we're to live. Do the things that I do. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. All right, look at verse 14 of Titus 2. Christ is the one who gave Himself for us. Notice, again, a purpose clause here. That He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. That word zealous could mean bubbling over. That's the desire to do good works that are pleasing to God. Chapter 3 of Titus, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Maintaining. It's a maintenance. What do we do when we maintain our vehicle? We change the oil. We put that windshield wiper fluid in. We change the windshield wiper blades. We get new tires. We make sure there's air in the tire. We're doing maintenance of our vehicle that it might continue to run. Apostle Paul is saying the same thing to the believer. Maintain good works. Keep it going. Keep on keeping on is the calling. And he told Timothy, or Titus here, to keep on proclaiming these things. Notice he said, it's a faithful saying. It's a true saying. And he says, constantly affirm them to the people of God. So as a minister of the gospel, I would be remiss in my calling if I wasn't constantly admonishing you to good works. Now, this is not to be saved. This is a result, as we've seen in all of these texts. If you are saved, this is how you are to walk. Hence my comment with regards to the Belgic Confession, that good works, our good works, are not necessary unto salvation, or to justification, but they are necessary for the justified. It's commanded right here. These are not options. These are not suggestions for the people of God. These are the way, this is our lifestyle, our pattern, our living. It's an inward attitude of the heart. Look at Titus 3, verse 14.
And let our people also learn to maintain good works.
Well, what is that? What are the good works here? Notice, meet urgent needs. They may not be unfruitful. It's good work, so that you're meeting urgent needs. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. We're coming to an end. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 and 24. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It's part of gathering together as the people of God, to stir up love and good works, doing those things that are befitting repentance, that demonstrate that we are truly the redeemed of Jesus Christ. Part of that, as he said, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Is this the manner of some? We are to stir one another up to gather together, to be faithful in worship. It's just not me. It's all of us as the congregation, stirring up one another to do that which God calls us to. And when we faithfully gather together, that's a good work. It's what God calls us to. We come by faith in Christ. We come at the command of God and for His glory. So, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Notice verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Don't forget to do good. What is good? Good is what God says is good. Good is the truth of God's Word. Good is serving. Good is giving. Good is loving. Good is caring. Good is sharing. Turn to James chapter 4. A couple more. James 4 verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, it's sin. It's sin to know the good thing to do and not to do it. Keep turning back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, notice, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And one more, 3 John. 3 John and verse 11. Now, if all those other texts did not do it for you, listen to what John says here. Verse 11. 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Those who do good are those that are raised up to newness of life. Doing good is walking in obedience to the commandments of God. It's walking in consistency with the commandments of God. It's doing what God calls us to do. Loving, giving, caring, sharing, providing, watching over, admonishing. It's not just simply a temporal thing, it's also a spiritual thing. It's giving of our life. Giving of thanksgiving to the Lord is giving to one another, which God calls us to. And not only in simply material things, but also spiritual things as well. So it's the whole of the life of both material and spiritual that we're giving to one another. That's a good work that God calls us to. Now look at our text this morning. I think that's the longest intro I've ever had. But Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Well, let's stop right there. Let's look at this verse. Verse 9. Let us, he says, let us not grow weary. This is a present tense. This is something that we're never to grow weary while doing good to others. Jesus even speaks of giving a cup of cold water to a servant of the Lord. You will not certainly lose your reward. That is a good word. You remember that the Good Samaritan and how he gave. He gave to this man who was lying there in the ditch for dead. Clearly, he was stripped of his clothing. He was stripped of all of his possessions, and he was left to die there by the roadside. And then the priest and the Levite, when they came by, supposedly the religious people of the day, saw this man and did nothing to help. Actually put the blinders on, walked on the other side of the road, and ignored the man. How is that love? How is that a demonstration of love? How is that a demonstration of godliness, Christ-likeness, of loving your neighbor as yourself? Of doing unto others as you would have others do unto you. And you certainly, when you're in the ditch and you're left for dead, you would want the first passerby to help you. And you wouldn't ask what color he was or what nation he was from. You would simply know that that is what we are called to do with other fellow human beings, is to reach out with compassion and love and mercy. And that's what the Samaritan does. And this is the irony of it all, right? Because the priest and the Levite, they hated the Samaritans, who were half Jewish and half Gentile. The northern tribes were taken captive by the Assyrians, and they began to have children, and they were half Gentile, half Jew, and they were despised then by the Jews. And here is this man who pulls aside, takes his clothing, puts it on the man, takes his wine, takes his oil. The oil would be used to soothe, to help with the soreness of the muscles. The wine would have been an antiseptic to cleanse the whatever he had, the cuts and abrasions on him. Then he takes the man, puts him on his own mule, takes him to an inn, flips the guy the coin, and he says that if he owes anything more, when I come back, I'll take care of that too. That's doing good. That's doing good to others. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Do good to others. No greater love a man has than he who lays down his life for his friends, serving one another. Jesus came, and Jesus came as he said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. Jesus came to do the ultimate, to lay down his life for his friends, and to do that which was the most menial task of the day, despised by all the people. And that was to be a foot washer. Remember when he girded himself with a towel and he knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet? That was the lowest menial task of the day, was a slave that stood by the door and washed the feet of the people as they came in. The dirty, filthy, stinking feet of the people. And Jesus did them both. I once saw a picture in a bookstore, and was in the Christian book section. And as I looked, I turned, I saw this picture, and I had to go over closer to look at this. And it was a pastor, and he was holding his Bible, and he was sitting in a chair, and he had one hand on his Bible, one hand on his forehead like this. And then as you looked down, you saw two hands, which were an image of Christ's hands washing his feet. Humbling. Peter didn't want it. You'll never wash my feet. Well, Peter, if I don't wash you, then you're going to have no part with me. Well, then you know, Peter, well, not only my feet, but my head, my hands, everything else. Wash me, Lord. Then, calm down, Peter. You've been washed. You live in this world. You just need a foot washing through this world. It's like the barnacles that attach to a boat. So recognize that we are not to grow weary. To grow weary means to come to the point of losing heart. Quitting. You know, oftentimes in the ministry, when you don't see growth, you don't see the fruit of your labors. I think that's why over the years you think about, when I think about the ministry, I don't actually every single day, I'm not seeing the growth as it comes about. Now and again, I see it. But it doesn't happen overnight. And pastors, preachers, teachers of the word must be patient. Just like farmers. Farmers are called to be patient. They're called to lay the seed into the soil and then be patient. You know, in our day and age, we want to plant the seed today and we want to reap the harvest tomorrow. We don't like to be patient. We pray to God, God, give me patience right now. That's how we respond. You know how God gives us endurance, how He causes us to be patient people. More often than not, you'll see it in Scripture, through adversity. Maybe that's why many of us don't pray for patience. Because we know what comes as a result of that. God putting us in these difficult situations of life. And He causes us then to be patient. He causes us then to be one who is long-suffering. You can't do anything. You just have to simply wait it out. We're not good in our culture of waiting out. Once in California, I went to a Taco Bell, and they had a little sign up there. It was a little timer. And as soon as the one car got up, one sign, it flashed up there, 30, 29, 28, 27. And I was like, well, that's strange. And I asked them when I got up to the window, I said, what's that all about? We guarantee to have your food in 30 seconds. You're wound way too tight. If you think you got to get everything out in 30 seconds. Man, that's just going to, it's a lifestyle that's preparing you for disaster. Because it's not going to happen. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Be patient. Don't grow weary. It takes time. We pray for people. Some people we pray for years. And some of you don't like it. Some of you get irritated about it. Do you still have to have that in the bulletin? Do we still have to keep praying for that? Yeah, we do. We do. We are to pray and not lose heart, Jesus said. We are to keep on praying. We are to be a people that keeps on praying and not lose heart. Not get weary. Not get discouraged in the time of prayer. Yeah, but I prayed for this individual for years and years and nothing came about. Is he still alive? Oh yeah, he's still alive. There's still hope then, isn't there? There's still hope if somebody's alive. Well, if somebody dies, it's done. You stop praying for that individual. But while they're alive, you continue to boldly come to the throne of God, petitioning for this individual, for their salvation. It may be for somebody that's sick. Whatever it may be. Don't lose heart. Don't get weary in doing the work that the Lord calls you to. No matter what it is, don't get weary. Now, this caused my mind to run right back to Hebrews 12. We get weary and discouraged, and the reason why is that we lose focus. Vision. We lose vision. We lose perspective. 2020 vision. Keep your mind stayed upon Jesus. Keep on looking unto Jesus, lest you get weary and discouraged. We're weary in the battle. We're weary in the fight. We're weary in the labor. Because we lose perspective of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, let me give you something of a curative, an antidote, to help you when you get weary. Number one, you need to be in God's Word. Oh yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times or more, haven't you? Going back to the teaching of Scripture is where you're going to find the view, the image, the vision of Christ as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. And as He reveals Himself to us in His Word, He reveals that He is the Sovereign One. He says this, that all power and all authority have been given unto Me. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Vision. The Sovereign God rules over all things. Nothing is out of control. He is the one who is causing all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Joseph in prison, but God was with him. The Lord is working all things for His glory and the good of His people. Vision. Perspective. Look to the teaching of Scripture and let your heart meditate upon the truth of God's sovereign rule over all things. Satan wanted to come at Job and he says to the Lord, yeah, I wanted to get at him, but you put a hedge around him so I couldn't get at him. Yeah, that's right. You've got to have permission to get at the people of God, the redeemed of God, the body of Jesus Christ. Permission must be granted to touch one of the people of God. And this is what the Lord does. And He says, all that He has is in your hand, but don't lay a finger on the man. Notice limitations. God is sovereign, thus far and no further. The devil is God's devil. God rules over the devil. There's not an equal ultimacy of power struggle going back and forth. God rules over all things. And as Martin Luther said, a mighty fortress is our God. One little word will fell him. Get a vision, beloved, of the sovereign working of God. Then when the Lord told Satan, the man is in your hands. Only, you cannot kill him. Limits.
boundaries that the Lord sets. And you cannot transgress beyond what the Lord has set. He is the sovereign one. No matter what you're going through, God is sovereign in all things. This will keep you, as the Apostle Paul says, from getting weary. Don't grow weary. Notice that in discipling individuals, teaching others, it takes time. It takes years before people begin to grow. This is how the Holy Spirit works. He works in them, and ordinarily it's not something that happens immediately. Some grow faster than others, we understand that, but ordinarily it's something that takes time. And you've got to be patient. You all have said it to me at times. You have said things to me in this way. I bet you're growing tired of me. No, I'm not. I understand. You plant the seed and it takes time to germinate and to grow and to sprout and to harvest. It's not overnight. So it is with discipleship. So don't grow weary, beloved. Never let yourself grow weary. Keep the perspective of looking to Jesus, knowing that God is sovereign, and in His time, He will bring it to pass. And this is when the Apostle Paul goes on and he says, while doing good, while you are doing the good work, while you are doing the work of evangelism, while you are ministering to someone else, while you are serving someone else, serving in the church. You know, those that say that I've been doing this or I've been doing that and I go unrecognized. Good. Let it be that way. This is what John the Baptizer said, wasn't it? That he must increase. I must decrease. I must fall to the back. What are you doing it for? You doing it for the recognition? Do you want to be recognized? Or do you want the Lord to be honored and glorified through the vessel that He uses? In my life, you think about it this way. I'm just simply a screwdriver or a hammer or whatever the Lord desires to use at that given moment. It's not that you don't praise the screwdriver after you put the screw into the wall. You throw it back into the toolbox. And then when you need those vice grips, you reach in and grab that and you use that and you throw that back in. And it's the one operating, using the tool that gets the praise, and that's the Lord. And we're simply those vessels, vessels that the Lord chooses to use. So keep doing good. Keep loving one another. Keep caring for one another. Keep giving to one another. Keep sharing with one another. Keep coming and admonishing one another, bringing God's Word to one another's minds. This is the curative to depression, discouragement, and anxiety, is the Word of the true and living God. So the Apostle Paul says, due season, in the time, when the time comes, in the season, you're going to reap. You're going to reap. A farmer out plowing his field, preparing it then for the spring planting, and he gets out there and he starts planting, and he doesn't plant it all in one day. But as he plants and he comes back that next day, he sees what he has planted. And what does he see? He sees nothing. He just sees some rows there. So he gives up. Didn't grow. I don't see anything about it. So I didn't reap. He's not going to reap. There's just going to be a little bit. He's not going to reap the full harvest. Why? He gave up. He gave up during the time of planting. So it is with the people of God. Keep pressing on. It's a call to perseverance, isn't it? To diligence. To keep pressing on in that high calling in Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul says, don't lose heart. Don't get faint. Don't get weary. And that's what it means to lose heart. It means to become faint. Somebody asked me once, do you get weary of the work? I don't get weary of the work. I love what the Lord called me to do. I get weary at times in the work. Not of the work, but in the work, while doing the work. Why is that? Well, we're sinful. We're flesh. The Spirit is willing. The flesh is weak at times. So we need to continually, the 2020 vision is going back to the Scriptures again and again and again and again and seeing clearly the perspective through God's Word. Looking at everything in the world through the perspective of God's Word. The Lord is in control. Someone gets sick. Didn't happen by chance. Someone dies. Didn't happen by chance. It happened by the design of God. Whether you understand it or whether you don't, it happened by the design of God. That's the comfort for us. It is God's purpose, God's plan for God's glory.
And in this, we ought to glorify God. So in verse 10, he moves on and he says, therefore, as we have opportunity. Now, the opportunity that he's talking about, kairos, it doesn't mean every single moment, right? I mean, I have an opportunity here now. I have an opportunity over there. He's speaking about your whole life. As those who are the redeemed, your whole life is an opportunity. Now, this is not for salvation. This is for blessing and the rewards the Lord gives to His people. Understand that. He's speaking to the people of God. He's speaking to those who are the redeemed. He's not telling them, do these things to be saved. Do these things because you are the saved. God is certainly going to reward His people for their service in the kingdom. So as we have opportunity, you know, Jesus said that the fields are white unto harvest. And how many of us are really laboring in Christ's kingdom? Faithfully, diligently laboring in the kingdom of Christ. And he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest gives workers and sends them out into his vineyard. Somebody has got to do the work. And when it comes to the things of Christ, we're slackers, aren't we? You know, statistically what happens in the church is about 20% of the people are doing 80% of the labor, while the rest are out on the top of the boat sunning themselves and enjoying the ride. And yet we're all called to do our share in the work of ministry. That's the whole point of Ephesians 4. That we're knit together by every joint and sinew so that every part does its share, edifies, builds up for the growth of the entire body itself. You've got to do your part. This is a result. This is a consequence of salvation. To be diligent in this. So you have opportunity. Opportunities are all around you. You're living, you're breathing, you're in contact with people all the time. Opportunities are always there. Make the most of the days. The Apostle Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Make the most of the time that you have given. Jesus said, while it is light, labor while it is night. Because the night is coming where no man can labor. So keep on pressing on. And as you have every opportunity, let us do good to all. This is a difficult thing that we have towards people that are nasty to us. Is doing good to them. And you know, and I understand this, I recognize this, being a sinful individual myself, we have a tendency to do evil to those who do evil to us. We have a tendency to want to repay somebody how they do to us. I'll give to you, and that's vengeance, isn't it? And isn't it what the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We are not to be vengeful towards one another. We are to be those, as you see on the Sermon on the Mount, which is not dealing with corporate worship, but individual Christian living. So somebody slapped me on the cheek, I turned to him the other also. Right? There are these things speaking individually towards the individual believer that Jesus addresses there on the Sermon on the Mount. But if somebody kicks you, you want to kick back. Somebody spits on you, you want to spit back. Somebody hits you, you want to hit back. That's a sinful response. That's a sin that's still in our heart, that clings to us this lifelong. But then, if we do that, we're doing to others as others do unto us. It's hard, beloved. It's not easy. How often do you even think about it? It becomes harder when you don't meditate upon it. When it doesn't become part of your very fabric of your thought life. And the Holy Spirit brings that up and stops you in your track when you're going to get ready to pop somebody in the face for them hitting you. Or spit in their face because they spit on you. Or have a nasty word towards them because they had a nasty word towards you. The nastiness is all around us. People are nasty on the phone. People are nasty in person. Go take a return about this time of the year to Walmart or some store. They're not real happy in there as all these people are flocking in there to bring all these returns. We are to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Nobody in here wants to be spit in the face. Nobody in here wants to be punched in the mouth. Nobody in here wants to be lied to or slandered or gossiped about. Nobody in here wants an ill word spoken to them. Don't do it to others. Do good to all. not just select individuals, to all men. This means believer and unbeliever alike. This may mean your unbelieving neighbor, the one who, you know, has no use for your dog because he goes over there and does his business on his lawn from time to time. So he pulls out his gun and he says, well, I'll take care of this problem. It's difficult to do good to people like that, isn't it? But yet this is the text. Do good to all. Strive to do good to all. Serve all. Give to all. Give to those who have need. But he says, notice, especially. Especially is the word he uses for chiefly. Above all. If you had $10 and you could give it only to one person, give it to the believer. Give it to the member of the household of faith. Chiefly, we are to do good to the believer, to the people of God. And this is what he says here. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. The household of faith are the redeemed. Now, when he says the household of faith, it's the household of the faith. The faith. The faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. It's the faith of those confessing faith in Jesus Christ. It's that household. It's a household of believers who are joined and knit together by what every part brings to that body for edification. It's the Ephesians 2, as he said, we're being built together, a house of God. It's the 1 Corinthians 3, we are a building made not with hands, eternal in the heavens. To worship God, where God dwells. He dwells with us. He dwells with us by His Spirit. This is who we are as the household of faith. So you need to look among you. You need to look among you for the people in the congregation who are struggling, who are in need, who may not say anything. But you see it. And when you see it, the Lord has brought it to you. Meet the need. You don't need to blow a trumpet. You don't need to tell anybody about it. You can do it anonymously. Let me say this. If you want to give to somebody in the congregation and you don't know and want anybody to know, clearly there are going to be some people that are going to know. But if you want it to be an anonymous gift, then you give it to the treasurer and you tell the treasurer to send a check to that individual and it will come from Hope Reformed Church. Giving to those who have needs. This is what Paul calls us to. This is the teaching of Scripture. Being a giving, loving, kind, long-suffering people walking in all good works. Love, are you striving for that? Are you striving to honor God by the way that you live your life? Are you striving to honor God by your thoughts? This is a struggle right there in the thought life, isn't it? That's where it begins. That's where the fight begins. Is in the thought life. You start getting the thought life under wraps of the Holy Spirit. He brings your mind captive to the obedience of Christ's Word. It's going to affect the way that you speak. It's going to change your vocabulary. And as your vocabulary changes, your lifestyle is going to change. It's going to become more and more in line of being who you actually are in Christ Jesus. And that's the key, isn't it? That's the whole issue of the Christian life, is matching the practical with our positional. Positional, we are perfect in Jesus Christ. Practically, we are still working on our salvation with fear and trembling. And as we grow in grace, the two become more and more in line, consistent, so that in glorification, we will be who we truly are. And so we ought to be striving for that here on this earth. Encourage one another. Care for one another. Do good to one another. Provide for one another. Love one another in this way. And don't get weary. Just stay the course. Keep on keeping on is what we are called to. With perseverance for the glory and the praise of God. And you're going to reap if you don't faint and lose heart. Amen. Shall we pray?